I went to a nursing home just last week, and I had been to visit this lady before. I had my collar on, but she's got a bit of, you know, dementia, and I just want to be gentle with her. And I just went up to her and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, dear, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you." Good question. Who am I? But more importantly, the question today that we want to mostly focus on is, who is Jesus? And if you asked anyone today, who is Jesus Christ, you would come across many, many different answers. He was a great teacher to some. He was probably a lunatic. He was just a guy who lived a long time ago. We believe he's the Messiah. But you'd get many answers if you asked someone just in the street. The other day I was talking to a lady who said her mum has a really strange faith. She says that she believes that God is in nature and she's Catholic. But I just believe in all the gods. Why eliminate any? You can just have them all. And I go, well, it kind of doesn't really fit with the faith that we proclaim from the Bible. So I don't know who you say Jesus is. I hope that you do say that he is your Messiah. And so we're going to look at that scripture that we just heard read and think about more about who the disciples thought Jesus was in his day, because they were still pretty confused in those days. No one really understood that Jesus was the Messiah for a long time. They took a little while to catch on. And so in this scenario, Jesus and his disciples have gone to Caesarea in Philippi. We've got a little picture of that. And there was this region was really strongly identified with many different gods. So there was various religions. There was a lot of Baal worship in that place some time ago. And then there was the Greek god Pan. He had shrines there. And also Herod the Great had built a temple there to honour Augustus Caesar. And it was probably in the site of this temple that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And he got varied response. Some say Elijah, you know, because that was prophesied that Elijah would come again. Some said Jeremiah. Some said, you know, another one of the prophets. And some said John the Baptist come back to life. But, you know, they both lived at the same time, so that's a bit of a ridiculous answer. But they didn't really understand just who Jesus was. And so he asked them, because these disciples had been travelling with Jesus for about 3 years now, getting to know him better and better. And he said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter declares, "You are the Messiah." And this is the truth. The Holy Spirit had revealed this to Peter, Simon Peter. He was really getting a grasp, understanding who Jesus really is and who Jesus would be to him and to all humankind. And as soon as Simon Peter declares this, Jesus declares over Peter, "Your name is Peter." It wasn't Peter yet, it was Simon, but Simon Peter has changed his name to a name which meant little stone. Little stone, Petros. So Jesus is calling him a new identity. And in Jesus Christ, when we do come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, he too gives us a new identity. We are new creations. He says, like, we are also like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering special sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is just one of the things he says about us. He says we are God's workmanship, created afresh anew in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us to do. It says that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. In other scriptures, it tells us that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are children of God. We are chosen people, a royal priesthood. And so in Christ Jesus, when we come to saving faith in him, he changes our identity to be so much more than we ever were before. So Jesus renamed Peter Little Stone. And then he said, on this stone, so Matthew, the author of that gospel, chooses a different word here. It means big rock, Petra. On this rock, so play on words here, I will build my church, Jesus says. Now, this would have meant something to the Jews of those days. They always associated God with the rock. We see that in many scriptures, such as Deuteronomy. It says about God, He is the rock. His works are perfect and all His ways are just. And in Psalms it says, The Lord is my rock and my salvation. He is my refuge and my fortress. You know, so they understood God was associated with the rock. And we know that Jesus too becomes the rock of our salvation. He actually becomes the cornerstone of the church that he was about to build. It says that just shortly after this story in Matthew. It says it in chapter 21. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. So Jesus really is the stone that the church is built on. But here Jesus is declaring over Peter, your faith, your declaration that I am the Messiah, that confession is what I will build my church on people's faith. And Jesus builds his church. That's a key phrase here, because a lot of people think we have to build the church, we have to build the church. I go, no, Jesus builds a church. And what he told his disciples to do a bit later in the book of Matthew is you go out in all the authority I've given you and you make disciples. Make disciples, teaching them everything I have taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you to the end of the age. And Jesus always said, I will build my church. You make disciples. Do you know what happens if you make disciples? He builds the church. So we still have a role to play. But it's God's work to bring the increase. We just have to be faithful in making the disciples. And so Jesus Christ, the foundation rock on which the church is built, he builds his own church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. So Hades is sort of thought of the realm of the dead, where people go when they die, and it's like, you know, the spirits of the unsaved are held there until the day of the resurrection and they're judged. This is in, Jewish thinking. And so it was a prison where the unsaved were held. But Jesus holds the keys and all the authority. The keys are a symbol of authority. He has all the authority over death and Hades and all of that. And he's passing on his authority to his own disciples. So the gates are, again, a place of authority. In those days, if you were sitting at the gates, that's where you did your business transactions. That was the most important place, where people of authority sat and made big decisions, like, you know, city hall or town hall in our day, or even law courts. So it's different for them to understand, but by his death and resurrection, Jesus would conquer death and Hades and all this once and for all. But Jesus has the authority, and he's claiming that, and he's giving it to Peter in this passage that we just talked about. He says, and I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock, your confession of that I'm the Messiah, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The authority of the evil one and Satan will not overthrow or overcome God's Jesus church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you authority in the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. A better translation would say, whatever is already bound in heaven, do that. So we don't tell God what to do. We don't just say, oh, you know, God, you know, I'm not letting that person come into salvation. No, God says, you do my will on the earth. Whatever is done on heaven needs to be done on earth. So whatever is already bound in heaven, you do on the earth. That's a better translation. And it's exactly the opposite to what the Pharisees of their day were doing. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 23. This is what Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who try to enter go in. They were keeping people out of the kingdom of heaven. heaven, out of the kingdom of God. They were preventing people from coming to God. And so Jesus gives his disciples the authority. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to come to the Father. It's a new way, a new living way, which Jesus had the authority to bring, to inaugurate, and the disciples had the authority to carry out. And we carry out that same authority today. We are called to go make disciples. We are everything that Jesus says that we are. But first we'll go back to who we say Jesus is. So if you say this about Jesus, back to that one. The one before? Yeah. Oh. Who do you say Jesus is? If you say he's the Messiah, the Son of God, Redeemer, Author of our lives, Rock to build your life on, the Cornerstone, the Builder of the Church, and the Judge of all people, then this is true of you. The next slide. This is who Jesus says you are. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's chosen people. You are spiritual stones. You are living sacrifice, and you are disciple makers, and many, many more things that God says about you. So what I want to do today is just encourage you to live in these truths. If you know the truth about Jesus, know the truth about who you are in him and live that out, because that is our destiny, that is our calling, and call it out in others too. Just encourage one another to live out our true identity in him, because this is a place that we can really be ourselves. Like, we just played a fun game, who am I? Thank you, Stuart, for being a participant in that. But now I really want you to actually get to know Stuart. You know a little bit about him. Let's really get to know one another. Let's really get to know Christ, who we are in Christ, and get to know one another so that we can build one another up in the body of Christ. Amen? God be with you.